3 o'clock, and then I got home on Saturday at 4 a.m. So it was just a long, it was a really long trip home. Sheldon's gonna, it's gonna be much worse for him coming from Africa. But I must say it's really, really good to be back. And the pilot announced when we were landing in Saskatoon, I came from plus 35 humid, hot weather. And then he says it's minus 41. That's what he said. And so I stepped outside because I was going to wait for my van to pick me up and bring me to the hotel where Tracy and Abe were at. And I stood there for 10 seconds. And I'm like, nope. I just came back in. And so it was so cold. So I think my body's freaking out. It doesn't know what to do right now. So, but it was really good. Thank you for your prayers while I was away. Really, really appreciated your prayers. Of course, whenever you go to do these things, the enemy's always at work too. And he's prowling around like a roaring lion, right? And so really appreciate your prayers. I had one lady who came up to me at the end of the conference. So it was a full days. We started 8:30 in the morning and then end at about 6 in the evening. And so the days are quite full. And we're teaching over there and just talking about the life of Christ and what that looks like and what that means in different situations that we go through in life. And it was really neat. This lady came up to me and she said, Chad, do you remember me from 2020 when you were here? Because we had been doing a work in this area for a few years now. And I said, yes, I do. And of course, I have an interpreter because I don't speak Portuguese. And so they're interpreting. My interpreter was really, really good. And she said, well, I feel like the Lord asked me to come over to tell you that when you were here in 2020, you saved my life and my marriage through what you taught us about the Lord. And so it was so encouraging because you can get beat up over there, you know, and you're going and you're wondering, is anybody getting it, you know? And she said, that truth did set me free in my life and in my marriage. So isn't that amen, right? It's worth it for one person, right? And she brought this other lady and she goes, she really built up this conference to me. And I said, uh-oh, how did we do? And she goes, blew my expectation. I said, it saved my marriage. And so it was really cool. So thank you for your prayers. I know those things don't happen. Thank you for lifting me up while I was away. Thank you to Brian. And Brian had to preach twice. I didn't know that till I got back that he preached twice. But I think he did a good job. And I got to listen to it, and I thought, man, I could have just listened to Brian's voice was so soothing just listening to it. I thought, man, that guy should do audiobooks. So anyways, thank you to Brian and Jeremy. I didn't get to hear his yet. It wasn't loaded, but I know Jeremy would have done a great job as well. Okay. I need to go to this. There we go. How's that? Okay. Can we see that? Okay, we're good. Somebody blessed me with a brand new iPad. So I'm still getting used to it. But it's working this morning. So amen. So I was really grateful to the Lord. My other big one, if you remember, it was so slow and it didn't always work properly. So I was really grateful to the Lord for that. Okay. We are in the book of Galatians and we're at the very end of it. And I left you. I apologize. I was supposed to speak on Sunday, February 8th. But the airline changed my flight time to earlier. So I had lots of time before then. And we were talking about what does it look like to walk in the flesh and what does it look like to walk in the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul uses these words amongst his letters in Romans and Ephesians and of course Galatians where we are. And so we want to talk about, okay, Paul talks about it, but how do I do that? What does walking in the Spirit actually look like? And what does walking in the flesh look like? And what's the difference between the two? How do I walk in the Spirit? Because I want the fruit of the Spirit to be shown in my life. So it's good to talk about it, but it's also good to talk about what does that actually look like in my life. And so let's just refer back. Let me bring you, I'll read for you from Galatians 5. And here's what Paul says. I'll start at verse 16. He says this, "So I say," this is Paul, "so I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. For the sinful flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Okay, so you ever feel that battle, that inner battle between flesh and spirit? We've all experienced that, right? Right? We can feel that inner battle. And so Paul talks about that a little bit. And then he goes into this next verse in 19. Here are the acts of the sinful flesh, living in the flesh, walking out of the flesh. And we'll explain that in a bit. But he says they're obvious. Sexual immorality, sexual impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, he didn't give an exhaustive list here. He just highlighted some of them. And he says, and the like, and along with those, there's lots more. Right? But he mentions these ones here. "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," so now he's going to go, here's what it looks like if you're walking in the Spirit. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." So if you look at that list where Paul is listing, and again, that list that he gives of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not an exhaustive list. Right? He's just naming a few. There's a lot more things to it. But if you want to know what the fruits of the flesh are, just look at the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. Right? If the fruit of the Spirit is love, then the fruit of the flesh would be hate. Correct? Which Paul mentions in his list as well when he was giving it. Love, joy. Right? Peace. Well, chaos. Right? So we want, Paul's saying, we want to be walking and living in the Spirit. That is what the goal is, not to live out of the flesh. And so I want to talk about that with you this morning. What does that look like? How does that work? Actually, let me just read the scriptures as a reference, and then I can set this down. I also want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, another one of Paul's letters, okay? And I'll read verses 1 through 10. So listen closely to what Paul says here in Ephesians 2. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." He's talking about the enemy here. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were, by flesh, deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." Okay, that's a key word. I want us to remember that, okay? Through faith. "And this is not from yourselves. It doesn't come from you and your good works. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not, well, there it is, verse 9. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, we got that? We're made alive now in Christ, okay? Now let me read from a couple places in Romans, okay? Let's go to Romans, and I'm going to read from you from chapter 6 and chapter 8. And let's hear what Paul says to the Romans. Okay, I'll read the first number of verses here. So here's what Paul says. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay, we have a new life. We have a new identity. We live in the new covenant, okay? So that's another important thing I need you to hear. Verse 5. If we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self, our old identity, okay? So Paul's talking about that, was crucified with him. Remember Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer lives, but Christ now lives in through me. So Paul mentions this again. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, past, present, and future. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead now to sin, but alive now to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death now to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law anymore, but you are now under grace. Amen? Do you hear all that? There's so much in there. We'll have to go through Romans at some point, but there's so much in that. It's beautiful. Now, let me just skip ahead to Romans 8, okay? Okay, so we're talking about walking in the Spirit and the flesh. I'm just trying to set this up a bit. So here's what Paul says in Romans 8. Let me see. Oh, yeah, I'll read. Just follow along. Story time. Therefore, I love that word, something's coming. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Or, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the sinful flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful humanity to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in human flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met. Okay, you hear that? It was fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful flesh have their minds set on what that flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the spirit desires. The mind controlled by the sinful flesh is death, but the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. Okay, that's a key thing there. When you're walking in the flesh, you feel like death, death warmed over. But when you're walking in the spirit, you sense life and you sense peace. A peace that passes all understanding. The peace that the world knows not. So the mind controlled by the sinful flesh is death, but the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. It can't, Paul says. It won't. Those controlled by the sinful flesh cannot please God. That's a big statement, isn't it? Right? When you are walking in the flesh, you cannot please God. Paul's saying it is impossible. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful flesh, but are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, we'll talk about that. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then, even though your body is subject to death because of the sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. What he did on the cross made us right before God. That's what that word means. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to that sinful flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Right? Walking in the flesh will cause you to fear. Right? Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That word means daddy. Abba, daddy, daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will testify, the Spirit within you, that you are God's children. You will know. Don't you know? Did you know? Do you know? I know. I want you to know that you are his children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Wow, right? There's a lot there. I don't have enough time to dissect all of it, but there's so much there, right? But it is very important for us to be able to talk about what does walking in the Spirit and what does walking look like in the flesh according to Paul. And if we compile all the things he said in his letters, you start to get a very clear picture of what Paul is wanting us to get. So what does it look like? So you guys have heard me talk about this before. So we have to understand how God made us, right? So Genesis talks about out of the dust of the earth, God formed our bodies, right? He breathed into us his Spirit that gave us life, and we became a living soul that can think, that can feel, and that can choose to do, right? We know that, right? We're making choices. We have a mind. We have an ability to think. Right? We have emotions, we have ability to feel, and we have a will. We have an ability to choose to do. Right? A cow can't do that, right? It can't choose. It has to do cow things. It can't wake up and start oinking because it's not a pig. Right? It was made to do cow things. We get to choose. That's what moral means. Moral means with choice. We're moral beings with choice. Amoral is without choice. And so we get to choose. So we first have to understand, this is important, how God made us. Out of the dust of the earth, he formed our bodies, breathed into us his Spirit, and we became a living soul. And Paul talks about these in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You'll see him, he refers to body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So that's important. So now let me just, when we operate out of the flesh, we're operating out of the resources of here. Okay? This is flesh. When I'm not filtering life through the spirit. Okay? When we work out of the power of I'm able to think, I'm able to feel, and I can choose to do things, and then I have a body to act on that. Okay? Without living out of the spirit, walking in the spirit, living by the spirit, as Paul says. So when I'm not filtering life through this, right, I am living out of the flesh, the power of my own resources. And when I don't live out of the source, the Holy Spirit that lives within me, things start to go sideways. We've all experienced that, right? Right? We start to experience that. Okay, so that's really important for us to understand. Now, we want people to receive the fruits of the Spirit from us in our lives, right? Now, what branch do you know of that eats of its own fruit? Does a tree eat of its own fruit? Does a branch eat of its own fruit? No, who's it for? It's for others, right? And so we want to give off the fruit of the Spirit. We want to be people who love, who have joy, who have peace, who are patient, but not trying, okay, I'm gonna try and produce love today. That's not how it works. Did Moses generate the miracles of God, or did he receive them by faith? Yes. So faith, which Paul mentioned, remember when we were reading that, becomes a very important thing. You have been saved by grace through faith. And if you will, for the sake of trying to explain these spiritual realities in a physical world, I want you to think of faith as an organ in the spirit. It allows us to receive the work of God in our lives. Faith is really important. You have been saved by grace through faith. Not by your work, but by His. We don't generate the work in our lives. We participate in the work of His whole life in us. Does that make sense? We don't generate, we participate, okay, in those things. Faith is like this organ of the Spirit, right? We do not produce, we bear. Right? John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, if you remain in me, if you rest in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit or bear much fruit. The word is bear, right? You will bear much fruit. So if you think about a vine, this is why I love this, and you're probably going to get tired of me talking about the vine and the branches. But I love that John included this because he took this little illustration and undid all of the work and teachings of the Pharisees in this one illustration of the vine and the branches. Because if you look at it, right, the branch does not produce anything, does it? And everything in the way that God's made us, we don't generate, right? Do our eyes generate light or receive light? Do our ears generate sound or receive sound? Do our taste buds generate taste or receive taste? Everything in you and how God has made you is meant to receive, not to produce, not to generate. Can you imagine if your eyes generated light? You'd be blind, right? It doesn't make sense. And everybody's had that buzzing in their ears, right? Yeah. And you're like, and you start hitting yourself in the head. You're like, what's going on? Something's not right, right? Go away, right? It doesn't work because your body is not meant to generate. It's not meant to produce. It's meant to receive, right? So faith is like an organ. It allows us to receive that work of God through faith, right? Through faith. And so walking in the Spirit, you're not generating, you're not producing, right? You're receiving by faith, and that comes through belief. Right? That comes by believing, because it's not by your works, as Paul said. It's by His work, and you're receiving His work by faith. Have you ever seen a tree like this? Right? The whole tree is flourishing, but what happened here? Anybody ever see that? You ever wonder what's going on there? Man, that whole tree is flourishing so much. But all of a sudden, there's a dead stick there. There's a dead branch. What happened to that branch? That branch thought that it could live on its own. And it tried to produce. It tried to generate. And so it stopped receiving the work from the trunk, from the vine. And it had dead fruit, didn't it? No fruit. Right? And so in this message of walking in the Spirit that Paul's getting on us, we receive that work by faith. Right? Paul said, not by works. It's through faith. It's through faith. It's through believing in Jesus and the work that he's done that you believe he will do through you. And it simply starts by the words of, I believe. The only way that you and I can limit our limitless God is by our unbelieving. By saying, he can't. Well, he can't do it through me. He can do it through others, but not through me. No, that's where faith has to come in. Lord, I believe. Like Jesus said, if you could just believe like one of these little ones, if you just simply believe, watch what I can do through you. Watch what my life can do through you. You know, I believe when God was creating man and woman, and he said it is very good. You know what I believe what was very good is I believe that he saw what his son's life could do through us. With the proper source, man, it is very good. Because I refuse to believe, and you've heard me say this time and time again, that Jesus was plan B. Jesus was not plan B. He was always plan A. But so if we could just get back to the garden and redo, no, it all had to happen. God has an order. You would not have understood grace without the law, would you? And us who've lived under it, I grew up in it. Oh, man, it was so stifling. And I wanted to live. I wanted to be such a great Christian for God. But I couldn't do it because I was thought I could generate this on my own, right? I could do this. I was working for love, not from the love I already had in him. I was working for joy, not from the joy I already have in him. Those who are walking in the Spirit, they receive, they work from his life within. Do you understand? We receive, right? And we participate in the life of Christ that's in here. Remember in John, we're going to walk through the book of John at some point here this year. And he says, I and my Father have come and made our home in you. Can you just stop and think about that with me for a second? Can you believe that? The God of the universe, the God who made everything around us, the God who made you lives in us. Would you not want to put that God to work in your life rather than yours? I never understood this. My grandma growing up, she's passed away now, and she was my saving grace. She actually looked after me for the first year of my life. I think I shared that with you guys in my amazing three-part testimony, three Sunday series testimony. And my grandma, she had this fruit on her table, and man, like, she always had this bowl of fruit, and it looked so good. And I remember when I got older, you know, and I wanted some, I grab it, and then you take a bite, and it's plastic. Did anybody have any grandparents? Like, I don't understand, why are we putting plastic food on the table when you could just put the real thing, Grandma? Right? Like, I never understood it, right? And it was just this plastic fruit. And I've been to other people's houses. Like, I remember in traveling and billeting everywhere, like, I'd see this, and it always made me laugh. I'm like, oh, what sucker's going to pick that up and grab it and chew on it? Right? Because it's not real, is it? We want the real thing. Your work outside of the Spirit of Christ in you is like that plastic fruit. It was made in a hot factory where it was loud, it was stinky, and had no flavor. Right? That's what kind of fruit you will produce, not believing and putting your faith in the one who lives in you. That he will generate the miracles for you. Your job as a branch is to merely receive by faith the work that he's already done and will do in through you. Does that make sense? Am I using enough illustrations to because I know we're taking spiritual realities and trying to explain them in a physical realm, and every illustration breaks down at some point. But I want to give you a picture of this because it has changed my life. When God finally opened my eyes to this revelation, because I wanted, the Lord knew my heart. Lord, I just want to do this so bad for you, but everything I did, it just came to naught, and Christianity became hard work for me. But when I let him do the work through me, man, it got exciting. It sure got a lot easier. See, Jesus isn't knocking on the believer's heart door to get in. He's knocking on your heart's door to get out. Let me out. Let me do the work through you. If you would simply believe, do not limit our limitless God by your unbelieving that he wants to work through you in your life. This church can walk by the Spirit. We do that as a church. Watch the effects it will have in your life, in your family's life, in those in your sphere of influence, in your community. Because it is hard to offend you when you're walking in the Spirit. Because you don't need anything from people. You have everything in Christ, don't you? Right? You're full. That's why he says you're full to overflowing. Right? It will just overflow in you. Moses did not generate, he participated. He did not generate, he received it by faith. And all of the branch has to do is receive the work done by the vine, right? The vine is the one into the ground, right? Remember, it says, my Father is the gardener. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches on that vine. So the Father gets to decide when to prune something off of you, doesn't he? And if you're wondering, why is this problem still there? Remember, Paul said, I prayed 3 times, God, please take it away. And what did God say to him? Paul, is my grace not sufficient for you? I will prune that out of your life when I deem so, because I know the exact moment. Do you remember I told you that story? I was in Brazil, and I was so mad at my mentor, Mike. He was my spiritual dad. And he decided it's your turn to do the counseling all day. And I'm like, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Vineyards. I'm going to do some wine tasting. And I thought, well, that sounds like a lot more fun to me. No, your turn. You're doing the work today. I'm going to the Vineyard. And so he went, and I did counseling all day. And he came back, and he comes with this sad face. He knocks on my door in a hurry, and he's bang, 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 bang. And he must have known I was done counseling. And he's like this at the door, and he has this very, very concerned look on his face. And I'm like, what's going on? He says, Chad, I felt so bad. I know you were here working all day, and I was at Vineyards. But while I was around, I heard a really sad story here in Brazil. And I'm like, what? There's a lot of orphan children, and so I brought one home for you to adopt. And he brings this big jar of wine that they call swale over there. It's like 2 pennies. Right? And I said, well, thanks a lot, Mike. And then he laughed, and we had a good chuckle, and he sat down with me, and he said, listen, I have something that God, I think, wants me to share with you. He said, the gardener was there when I was at this one vineyard, and he was tending to it. And so I've always had this question. So I went over to him and asked him, he said, how do you know when exactly to prune that branch? Like, how do you know? Oh, in the gardener, of course, Flavio was there, our interpreter. He's interpreting. And the gardener said, I have to know exactly when to prune it. Because if I don't prune it in time, it'll get too heavy and it'll break and it'll never bear fruit again. And if I do it too early, I'll stunt its growth and it'll never grow and bear like it should. He said, I know the exact moment when to prune that so that it'll bear fruit. So I want to encourage you this morning that God knows when to prune it. The gardener knows. Stop fighting what maybe God's working through in your life. Right? The father didn't rescue the prodigal son when he didn't replenish his funds when he ran out of money. Right? He let that contrast go to its full, right? When the son finally realized it was time. It was time to prune it out of the son's life. And the son finally knew, I need my dad. Man, his hired servants get treated better than me. Can we trust God with that? Remember in Peter, we talked about trust. That's the believer's response, is to trust. right? Entrust yourself to him who judges justly. And a couple chapters later in Peter, remember, Peter said, those who are hurting and suffering, going through trials, commit yourself to your faithful creator and continue to do good. Amen? We can trust him. He's a good, good father. I think sometimes we sing these songs and we just sing the words without thinking about it. But do you believe he's a good, good father? Walking in the Spirit will not come by anything you do, but what he's already done. Right? It is your new life. That's what Paul says. The new life. Remember when I said that? It's your new identity now. It is your automatic. Remember, I have two printers at home in my office. One is a default printer. What does that mean? It's the automatic one. It automatically goes to that. And now that you have been made new in Christ, you're in a new covenant, the old is gone and the new identity is here, that is your new normal. You don't wake up. See, I remember I was talking about this. And I asked a question. When you wake up in the morning, church, I said, are you in the flesh or in the spirit? And I remember one wife said, she goes, well, if you smelled my husband's breath in the morning, you think he's in the flesh too. I said, no, but let's get serious. Right? Where are we? Well, you're in the spirit. Because that's your new. That's your automatic. That's the new. Not because of what you've done. Remember, Paul said, not by your works, but by his work. Right? That's your automatic now. You walk in the Spirit. Now, you may not always recognize it because it's your automatic, but do you know when you're in the flesh? You certainly do. And if you're not in the flesh, then where are you? Absolutely. But some of us think this. We think we have to work our way up. Right? I gotta work. How many of you have asked Jesus into your life more than once? 5 times, 20 times. How many of you recommitted your life? Again and again and again. See, I wonder, are we confessing that to the enemy because we haven't believed that he really is still there? See, we recommit and we ask him again and again because we believe our behavior dictates his presence in our lives. Right? We think our bad behavior writes him off, writes him out. Nowhere is in my Bible does it say that. I will work everything, it says in Romans. I will work everything for the good of those who love me in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's good news. But we think we have to recommit, and I got to ask him again just in case. Well, we're just confessing to the enemy now because he got you to believe that he's not really there. Right? Your spirit is your automatic now. You don't have to work your way. I just think of this story. I remember, so Tracy, when we were dating, she gave me this watch, this wristwatch. And it had a FaceTime on it, and it had a little alarm on it. And I remember bugging her because when she first got it to me, she had it engraved. And on the back, it said, I love you, Baylor. And I thought, you got the wrong boyfriend, sweetheart. Who's Baylor? You know, but it was the name of the watch, but it was engraved in the same language. And so I'm like, okay, phew, she does love me, right? And I remember when I was working at the church out in BC, I had related walking in the Spirit to being cognizant of God, kind of 24/7. And so I set that alarm to go off every hour. And so it'd go off and I forgot about God. Oh, sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry, God. Am I doing your will? Am I doing the right thing? Is there anything you want to speak to me? Did I miss it? Sorry, I got distracted by my work at the church here. And every hour wasn't working, so I set it to every 45 minutes. And it would go off again. I said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I forgot about you. You know, am I doing the right thing? Am I in your will? Is there something I need to do? I got that sucker down to go off every 5 minutes. That's how stubborn I can be. They should have fired me at the church. I was getting no work done. But if we believe walking in the Spirit is being cognizant of God 24/7, men, you're going to have to shave your heads and become a monk and join a monastery, and women, get ready to put on those nice warm black and white clothes and go join a convent. If that's what you believe. I remember I was so upset. We were at a park in Manitoba, and I lost the watch. I lost it. Somehow it fell off my wrist or something, and I was so sad because I couldn't set my alarm anymore. And God says, this isn't working. I remember saying that to the Lord, like, this is not working. Is to walk in the Spirit to be cognizant? No. To walk in the Spirit is believing that His life is in you and that you're going to receive His work by faith. Not because of what you've done in your works, but simply you believe the work that He's done and will do through you. Do you ever just invite God into the moment? You know, sometimes I think we forget to ask God because we don't think He'll answer. Anybody been there? Right, yeah, I'm not going to ask because I don't believe He'll answer. You walk in the Spirit, not because of what you've done, but because of what He has done. Your ultimate litmus test is this, because Paul said it. Do you have life and peace, or do you feel like death warmed over? Because when you're walking in the flesh, it battles with the Spirit, and it doesn't feel right. And you don't have to work your way back up to the Spirit. The minute you recognize, yes, God, I agree with you, that was sin. That was flesh. Boom. Right? Because you don't always see what you have, do you? But when you don't see what you have, where are my glasses? Daniel, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses, Daniel? Where are they? Oh, Chad, they're on your head. Oh, yeah, right. See, I lost what I had because I didn't see what I had. See, when we don't recognize that, you'll lose it and you'll start working to get it. And now you've lost it, right? See how the enemy works? It's the ace up his sleeve. It's a trick. He'll get you to believe. You walk in the Spirit because of what He's done, not because of what you've done. Okay. That's probably good, hey? Do you get it? Yes? Did I give a good enough? I know we're just so limited in our time. It's good to have some time away and step out. Like, it was good for me to go to Brazil and kind of step outside, because sometimes you can see things a little clearer, right, when you step away and just kind of look on it. And I think what I want to do, and what I want to get started is, we're going to do some discipleship classes here. And I just want to, those who are interested, not everybody has to, but those who want to come and they want to learn more about what is the normal Christian life, right? What does God's voice sound like, right? How does He speak to me? How do I hear it, right? I found, like, even going over to Brazil and talking to different people, that we just don't understand these things. And so our job is to disciple, right? Right, that's our job. Go into all the world and baptize them, teaching them everything I commanded you. Make disciples, right? Not of Chad, but of Christ. But I love how Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, as I follow Christ. Okay. We don't want to be this tree, right? Okay, I'm going to say this one last time and then we're going to pray, right? It comes through faith. You have been saved, right, by grace through faith. Faith in who? Just to clarify that, faith in Jesus, okay? So that means we don't generate His work. We receive His work by faith. Okay? Moses didn't generate those miracles. He received them by faith. We don't generate. I want you to think of it as we participate in His life that is in us. Okay? We do not produce. We bear. Who does the work, the bearer or the producer? Well, the producer. The one who bears, it's easy. I just simply receive it. Right? And so it says in John, excuse me, that we do not produce, we bear fruit. We don't produce fruit. Okay, so we do not produce, but we bear. We do not work for, we work from. So when you wake up, you have everything. It says He's given you everything for life and godliness. You want to know you're walking in the Spirit, you will have life and peace. If you're walking in the flesh, you will experience death and bondage and doubt and fear and worry and anxiety. Shall I go on? Right? You may not always know when you're walking in the Spirit, believer, child of God, because that's your automatic. But you sure do know when you're in the flesh. And all that God wants from you is to recognize, yes, Lord, that was wrong. Boom, then you recognize the Spirit, don't you? because you got your eyes back where? On back onto Jesus. Amen. So again, it reminded me on this trip, my labors in this life, my labors for the past number of years have been in two kind of main things. One, to keep this message simple, because so many people want me to add to it, to complicate it, just like the Pharisees did for the people, right? The religious leaders. So one, I really labor to keep this message simple. When I'm going over my message, I always ask myself, can I make it simpler? Can I make this easier to understand? Because I want everybody to understand it, right? And I ask God, would you give the people revelation as you've blessed me with? Please, Lord, let them see. Because I want everybody here to walk in victory. I want everybody here to know that God will comfort you, even in your greatest depths of despair. And my other one, so to keep this message simple, the other one is to keep my focus on Christ. Because this world has so many distractions, right? People in your life will want to distract you off of him. I will keep you. Just listen to that first part of that. Who will keep you? Jesus, God, I will keep you. So first of all, just know that. You need to know that. He will keep you. What will you keep me in, Lord? I'll keep you in my perfect peace. Man, Jesus, that sounds so nice. Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. How are you going to do that? If your eyes stay on me, because you trust, there's that word, because you trust me. You trust the work that I've done. You are not in charge of your spiritual growth. Who's in charge of the sheep? The shepherd. Who's in charge of your spiritual growth? The shepherd. Who's in charge of my boy? Him or me? Well, me. See, I think we take over and we think those things help, but God doesn't need our help. Those things are just to help build into what you already have so you understand it more and more. Amen? Well, it's good news, right? I mean, that's what the gospel means, right? It is good news, and there's good news even in the depths of your hardest situation in your life. You may not be smiling on the outside, but you have a deep-seated comfort knowing that he's got this, Daddy has this, Abba Father. Would you pray with me? Oh, God, thank you for making sense of this, Lord. I pray that this fell on ears, Lord, that you give them ears to hear, hearts to receive, eyes to see, Lord. Whatever wasn't of you, Lord, then I know it won't stick. But whatever what us was of you today, Lord, I pray that it sticks. God, would you teach us continually about walking in your spirit? Thank you, Lord, that it's our automatic. Thank you because of what you've done. This is our new identity now. All because of you, Jesus. Continue to bring your understanding. Thank you for this food that we're about to eat and all of those who brought it, Lord. Let us enjoy fellowship together, Lord. Let's just enjoy hanging out, getting to know one another as family, showing interest in each other's lives, and like it says, bearing one another's burdens together and sharing life. Lord, would you just allow us to do that over lunch? And Lord, we know you're with us in our AGM. I just pray that, Lord, whatever discussion is had is all in unity. And Lord, whatever you want to happen, I pray that's what it is for our AGM for this year. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. We love you so, so much. Man, you're such a good, you're a good, good God. You are. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Okay. You hungry? Physically hungry? Because I know you're spiritually full right now, aren't you? You're just so stuffed.